Welcome to Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy, and I'm here with you every Wednesday at 10 a.m. on the Progressive Radio Network. Each week on Connect the Dots, we connect the dots between your personal well-being and everything that's going on in your total environment. I'm a longstanding reporter on food, health, and the environment, and each week on Connect the Dots, we talk about different facets of what's going on with food, water, air, and earth, with our communities, with our regions, with our society, with planet Earth, with our policies, with the science of health and environmental well-being. And each week on the show, I bring on different experts, advocates, authors, journalists, thought leaders, filmmakers, all different kinds of people to discuss all of the different things that we're connected to in our interconnected world that we live in. So on today's show, I'm very excited to be speaking about with some people who really have some interesting things to report on new developments that impact the future of organic food. Some of you listeners may know that I, in the last month, did an article on Truthout, and the article covered the purchase of Whole Foods by Amazon and, you know, sort of the what that may mean in the future for our healthy food supply. Yesterday, I just happened to have been chatting with someone at the library, and they said to me, well, if you know a lot about food and organics, tell me, what's the most, you know, the best food I could possibly eat? And, of course, this is how we think about how we approach this topic. You know, first from how do I take care of myself, which, of course, is good and is necessary. But usually the thinking doesn't go much further. So I basically said, well, I'll say the same thing Michael Pollan says. You know, healthy vegetables and fruits that are organic are the best basis for any nutrition plan. But the second thing I'll say is that if all of us don't become more aware of and take action on the public policies that shape the content and quality and healthfulness of our food supply, then those healthy foods may not be there for us. And so that's what we're going to be talking about pretty directly on today's show. Our guests today are Lisa Stockey and Dave Chapman, and I'm going to allow each of them to introduce themselves, and then we'll get into the conversation. So welcome to Connect the Dots, Lisa and Dave. And Lisa, would you like to tell our Connect the Dot listeners about your amazing background in food advocacy?
Thank you, Allison. I'm so excited to be with you here again today. As Allison said, I've done, you know, work on food policies. I'm the founder of Food Democracy Now. We're an Iowa-based grassroots advocacy organization that I co-founded with Dave Murphy in 2008. And, you know, we've been here over the last 8 to 9 years to advocate for federal and state regulations and policies related to sustainable agriculture, organics, and independent family farmers. You know, we believe it's really important to keep family farmers on the land. And, you know, that's just a part of, you know, our sustainable and good future. So we've had a lot of work on GMO labeling across the country and, you know, just generally raising awareness about creating a healthy food system. So I'm really happy to be here with you today to talk about these issues. Thanks, Allison.
It's great to have you back. You're one of my roster of recurring guests. You know, there are some people who, like Lisa Stockey, who are dealing with issues that are so central and also become friends and colleagues and everything that, you know, they come back regularly. And if you like this show, listener, you can also find other shows with Lisa in our Connect the Dots archive. And our next guest is a new guest. Very excited to have him here. Welcome to Connect the Dots, Dave Chapman, and please tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Okay. Thank you, Allison. I am an organic farmer up in Vermont, and I've been farming about 35 years. I was a founding member of the Vermont Organic Farmers long ago. I run a farm called Longwind Farm, which grows greenhouse tomatoes, which are organic, and I have to now qualify that to say that they're grown in the soil because most of the certified organic tomatoes no longer are grown in the soil. I've been farming all the time that you two have been working so hard on advocacy, and I sort of got drawn into this conversation about 4 years ago when I realized that so much of what was being certified was suddenly coming up as hydroponic. And I objected to that. I don't think that's what organic is about. So I started a movement called Keep the Soil Inorganic with a friend, David Miskell. And that has grown dramatically as this has become a big national issue.
Dave, can you tell us a little bit about what hydroponic is and what the difference is between hydroponic growing and soil-based growing?
Sure. Said very simply, when you grow a plant hydroponically, you provide its nutrition as a liquid fertilizer. And that could be in a pot. That could be actually without any kind of a substrate except a running stream of water. It even could be done just in sand. Like you could be growing on a beach and you could be growing hydroponically because the plant wouldn't get any nutrition from the sand. So you provide it as a liquid. I think that there's a big difference between hydroponic food and organic food in that, you know, organic farming has always been a systems-based form of agriculture, and the foundation of that system has always been healthy soil. And the idea was that if you can take care of the life in the soil and feed that life, that you will end up with healthy plants and healthy animals and healthy people. So hydroponic is sort of a perfect crystallization of the philosophy of conventional agriculture, which is to feed the plant. And you can ignore most of the other processes. If you get the add the right nutrients to the plant, you get a big green plant and a high yield. There are related problems, more insect pressure, more disease pressure, which they deal with pesticides and fungicides. But so these are two very different approaches. The green revolution, as we know it, is based on feed the plant. And the organic revolution is based on feed the soil.
Anything you would add to that, Lisa?
I've been really privileged to work with a lot of these organic farmers, and I know that they're not entirely comfortable, you know, with me always saying this, but it's very true that, you know, organic farmers really are my heroes. And the reason that is because, you know, the organic farming that we already have in place, you know, the system that these pioneering organic farmers, you know, like Elliot Coleman and Fred Kirschenman and Jim Gerritsen and Dave Chapman and Davey Miskell and all these people, you know, these wonderful people across the country, and I think of Denise O'Brien in Iowa and Francis Hickey in Iowa, these are the people that are fostering, you know, what we need for a sustainable future for our future generation. They are the ones that are building the soil up, that are creating healthy, nutrient-dense food. They're the ones that are protecting, you know, the water and, you know, our seed supply and so forth, so for our future generations. And, you know, I'm deeply connected to this issue that Dave is describing here of certifying hydroponic growing inorganic, because it's truly a threat to, you know, not only, you know, the spirit of organic that has been developed over the last several, you know, decades, 3 to 4 decades by these farmers and supported by, you know, people, consumers like myself. You know, it's a threat because, you know, organic farmers cannot compete really in that marketplace with hydroponic growing. And we are at a time right now, I think we all agree here, but we're at a critical juncture, you know, at our moment in history, you know, as humanity on this planet, that we need to be, you know, growing exponentially more of these practices, you know, on our planet. not losing these amazing organic farmers. We need to be fostering more organic farmers. So, you know, it's really important right now that it's an all-hands-on-deck moment, in my opinion, that we make sure that we maintain, you know, the spirit and the integrity of organic certification to foster the organic agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Let's just get a little bit into the differences between, you know, a hydroponically grown, you know, what difference does it actually make if a plant, you know, is grown in soil? Like, why is it important to build the soil rather than just bypass the soil? That's kind of an ecological and environmental, you know, view of the topic. And, you know, and you can answer these together or separately. But, you know, secondly, what is the nutritional difference, if any, between, you know, between growing in soil as has been traditionally done versus in water? Is the quality of the nutrients that the plant will receive and then give, you know, back into the cycle, both to us who consume them as well as to insects, to earth and everything, is the substance of the nutrition in some way different? If it's, you know, just a liquid poured into the water versus, you know, whatever nutrients would be used in growing a plant in soil. I mean, I'm just really trying to understand, you know, for our listeners and my own understanding, you know, what the differences are.
I can talk about that. I'll start with the nutritional difference because that's what you just brought up. I'm not aware of any really clear tests that reveal this, although, I mean, there have been many tests comparing conventional to organic and even comparing hydroponic to conventional. The part of the problem is that we barely know what we're really testing for when it comes to real health, but you know, they know that there are in fact differences. But what I'd like to talk about is why there are differences. And the way that an organic system works is that there's an intermediary between the soil, the mineral fraction of the soil, and the plant, and that is all the microbiology, as well as actually larger biology that you can see, you know, all the little millipedes and sow bugs and all that crawling around in the worms. But there's a lot that you can't see that's alive in the soil, a great deal. I mean, they figure in a teaspoon of fertile soil, I think you've got a billion bacteria, and in a cubic meter of healthy soil with plants growing in it, you might have 24,000 kilometers of mycorrhizal fungi interfacing with that root and that soil. So there's a lot of symbiotic life in the soil that has co-evolved over hundreds of millions of years.
I just want to interject for a second there,
yeah.
Because that to me, you know, because of my background in health, immediately tells the story right there, because, you know, we in the U.S., a lot of people have damaged guts. I mean, they have damaged digestive systems. I regularly collaborate with, you know, healthcare practitioners, and I'm very aware of the science on this. And one of the, you know, biggest areas of development now is the fact that, you know, it's a microbiome, which is, you know, all of the bacteria within the body. And on the one hand, I think the average person is like taught to be, you know, ooh, scary, I hate any infection. And of course, there are some, like, you know, Lyme, Borrelia infection or others, you know, that are very detrimental, but we are prone more different kinds of problems when we don't have a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system equals a healthy digestive system equals the presence of the right kinds of healthy bacteria. And all of the disease, you know, illnesses that, you know, out for anything from allergies to dementia to autoimmune conditions, almost every problem, you know, on and on to various kinds of cancers. All of those problems really are now being seen as very, you know, attributable to a weakened and undermined microbiome. And people even say that, yes, you know, children should play in dirt. They should even eat dirt, you know, in order to get this benefit. So I don't know, given the lack of way we study things, like we seem to study the quick fix, simple, you know, extracted sort of thing rather than all of the interconnections. But, you know, it seems like a no-brainer that you know, what you're describing, Dave, in soil is in some way, you know, entering a plant and entering the produce and entering the human being in a way that would be very different if you're growing something extracted from that. Sorry I interrupted you, but I just, you know, had to kind of jump on that because I was having a big aha when you were speaking.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is the big aha, which is that in terms of the human microbiome and in terms of other things such as subtle energies that they're now starting to be able to test for, there's just no comparison between a hydroponic system and a healthy soil. And, you know, I think that one thing that's interesting to remember is that the reason that this a soil system works so well is that plants and the soil, the life in the soil, co-evolved for hundreds of millions of years. And they work together. You can't have a healthy soil without plants in it, and you can't have healthy plants without a healthy soil. It's truly a community that interacts and supports each other. And, of course, we've only been around for maybe 5 million years, you know, if you count our more remote ancestors, but we co-evolved with that existing nutritional system. So, of course, our health is dependent on that system functioning well. And the idea that we can figure it out and replace the 33 nutrients that we know we need out of this system, and we don't know about the others, is, I think, a fantastic arrogance. We simply aren't even close to being wise enough to figure out how to do that. We can figure out what nutrients to provide the plant so it will be big and green, but to get all those ratios right and all those balances right, and where a little bit too much is just as bad as not enough, I don't think we can. But the fungi and the bacteria can. They're quite expert at that. And so there's a wonderful relationship where plants actually take about a third of the products that they make through photosynthesis, and they exude it out their roots to feed all of the microbial life living right around the root system. In exchange for providing all that energy, they get back nutrients in the right ratios, in the right balances that provides, you know, sustenance for the plant. So it is a beautiful system. And what we've discovered in the last 60 years of soil science and soil ecology and human nutrition is that those old folks like Albert Howard and Eve Balfour, the founders of the organic movement, had it right. They didn't always understand the science, and we still don't understand the science, but we understand more of it now. And everything that we've discovered since then says they were right, and that organic farming system is a truly appropriate way for us to treat the planet and to get our own food.
You know, I was very struck by what you're saying. You know, you can produce something that looks good superficially. It looks bright and it looks green. And if they call it organic, and presumably that means there are no GMOs or pesticides or other hormones or other noxious toxicants, you know, in the growing of the plant, which is something that I kind of feel the need to double check about. But you know, then we assume it's like it's got a word, it's got a picture, and you know, and that's being marketed, and then we think that's good, we're done. But in fact, if the ratios are wrong or the nutrients are wrong, it seems like, well, it could only be a subtle imbalance, but it could maybe, you know, over time, who knows where that would go exactly, and no one's really studying it and verifying that. They're just kind of found a new business, which is what goes on in our world. And although it seems better, I mean, it could seem really good to some people. Wow, we're having organic, you know, and it's being made more widely available. That could be a wonderful thing, you know, and like one is the purist to complain about that. Do these foods, I mean, are they free from all of the, you know, known baddies that are part of like what the organic label is all about?
You want me to answer that, Lisa?
Yeah. Oh, I'm here. Yeah, sure. I can speak to that. Although I was loving you describe all of this, Dave. but yeah, I mean that's a really great question, Allison. And you know, when we were, I will just say that, you know, a couple of NOSB meetings ago, NOSB is the National Organic Standards Board, you know, which is where, you know, our focus is placed at this time, because there's a vote coming up this fall on this. But you know, it was put forward that the hydroponic industry, you know, develop its own label. You know, this isn't an anti, you know, hydroponic, you know, quest that we're on. It's just really, you know, we really hope to raise the awareness and also protect the integrity of the organic seal, right? And of course, that protects organic agriculture, as we've discussed, and David has shared with us why. So when you look at the hydroponic system, yes, it's absent of those kinds of, you know, pesticides that are not allowed in organic certification. It's absent, you know, of genetically engineered, you know, seeds and so forth. But you know, it's our feeling that if hydroponic, you know, wants to go forth and promote itself as something that's a benefit, then they need to develop, you know, their own label, you know, in our opinion. And it just really seems like they are piggybacking on the organic label, you know, that was developed, you know, with all of the, you know, the good principles in mind that Dave just discussed. And you brought forward, you know, this issue of the microbiome, you know, that is, you know, present, the biome that's present in the soil. And the soil is, you know, full of this, it's a whole ecosystem unto itself, right, that we don't even completely, you know, understand yet. It's so incredibly complex. And as you and I have discussed, Allison, you know, numerous times, you know, about the, you know, the industrial food system that we are all dependent upon now, that's dependent upon genetically engineered agriculture, which is the only thing that fosters, you know, the very large mega, you know, farms, and, you know, which is largely dependent upon, you know, glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, which I think most people have heard of now. And I think it's important here to mention just even briefly, since you brought up this whole thing of the microbiome, that we now are in a crisis, you know, with our soil and our food. And I don't think that that's even up for debate. And the main reason for that is this pesticide treadmill that we are on, that we are, you know, putting poisons on our food. And as Rachel Carson has said, you know, we are going to look someday into the future. And I think we're there now. You know, obviously she said this decades ago, you know, and think, you know, what in the world are we thinking? Why do we ever think it was a good idea to put, you know, poisons on the food that we eat? And so now we're in the system with the soil where we've sprayed so much glyphosate, it's now the most widely sprayed chemical in the history of anything, right, of any chemical ever sprayed. And glyphosate was originally marketed as what? An antibiotic, right? You know, it was Monsanto Corporation that, you know, had patents on glyphosate. It was patented as an antibiotic. So it acts as an antibiotic in the soil. Right? And so you are killing off all of those beneficial micronutrients. It also acts as a chelator in the soil, so it binds up the trace minerals that a plant depends upon, that we, of course, depend upon for our health. You know what happens when you have a lack of minerals in your food, you know, because it's not there in the soil? We all know what that is. You know, that's where a lot of our neurological, you know, diseases come from, depression and, you know, all kinds of things, right, when you don't have enough minerals, right? So you have this system of glyphosate that's bound to the minerals, that's killed off the beneficial microbial life there. And you don't have healthy food when you do that. And it's so, it's basic biology. And so then you have farmers like Dave here who have come along, and they are the ones that are building up that soil, right? And they're making that healthy soil so we can then have that healthy, nutritious food. And so this is where the crux of the concern comes from, is that we need to just maintain and foster that system of agriculture.
So what is what happened, you know, just to kind of get a sense of, you know, what the policy conversation is going to be coming up in October when the National Organic Standard Board meet. And just to give a little background, you know, the organic standards are not like, you know, engraved in granite, you know, like the tablets from the Old Testament or something. You know, they really are what defines and holds the line on, you know, when we use the word organic, again, it's like very often in the climate thing, people stand up and say on for climate, and then it turns out that actually they're promoting fracking, for example, while they claim to be for climate. So, you know, people, a word like that, we resonate with the word, we say, yay, you know, here's this word, I'm for this, but we don't actually, you know, most of us don't really look at into the policies and say how that word is being defined and what it means today, what it means this year, as opposed to 10 years ago or more when the standards were founded. So, you know, there has been some degeneration of that standard. So, you know, what could be coming towards us? What are your concerns about what could be coming in the upcoming meeting? And then what, you know, what that scenario could look like for our food and the soil and the earth?
I could speak to that, Allison. The hydroponic presence in organic is like the, you know, the villain in the movie that they keep killing, but it just keeps popping back. It won't die. And, you know, we have ended hydroponics being involved in organic a number of times, but it just won't go away. The original, when the USDA got involved in organic certification as a result of the Organic Food Production Act. It was a law, an amazing law that Congress passed. And it was a moment in time, and they passed a good law, and they really worked hard to create an advisory board that would guide the USDA, because they knew the USDA didn't really understand what organic meant. And these people would be chosen from a wide variety of citizens. And in the language of OFPA, of that Organic Act, it really clearly says that organic is about systems based on the fertility, the maintenance and fertility of the soil. The language is explicit. And in 2010, because there was some question of, well, should hydroponic be permitted, the advisory board, the Citizens Advisory Board, at the request of the National Organic Program, spent several years going over this issue and taking public testimony. And then by an overwhelming vote, I think it was something like 14-1, they voted that hydroponics should not be allowed in organic. And organic is based on healthy soil. And that recommendation went to the National Organic Program, to the administrators of all of this. And they ignored that. And they ignored it for 4 years. And in that 4 years, there was an explosion of hydroponic certification. And many certifiers will not certify hydroponics. None of the NOFAs will certify hydroponics. But there are people who will. You know, farming is a big business. And if it can be done, if it's permitted, it will be done. So in 2014, the National Organic Program said, just to make things clear, hydroponic is allowed. And it was like, oh, my God, we thought we cleaned this up before. And just to add insult to it, the EU has just absolutely formalized, they're about to make it the letter of the law, that organic farming must take place in the ground, in the soil, in the ground under our feet. So the U.S. is like the rogue nation on this. Why is this happening?
Yeah.
Is because there are a few hydroponic producers who are very large companies. The biggest in the world by far is Driscoll's, the berry company. And they're the biggest berry company in the world, and they're the biggest organic berry company in the world. And they've got over 1,000 acres of hydroponic berries that are certified as organic right now. This is kind of a secret. Nobody knew about this 2 years ago, that this was happening. And all of this was developed after the 2010 recommendation. So they knew they were gaming the system, but they went and did it anyway. And these are enormous players. So they have tremendous amount of influence. They have well-paid lobbyists who work hard at this. They're part of a coalition of hydroponic producers that are pushing for this. And it's very hard to go up against them. You know, we're just a bunch of people, you know, we're farmers and eaters, and we're going up against people in suits who are very good at what they do. And that's why this is an issue. That's why it's being fought out on the national stage. And if it weren't for Driscoll's and a few other large hydroponic producers like Wholesome Harvest, this would have been resolved 7 years ago. But it isn't.
What are the, you know, okay, so they kind of, the consumers didn't want it. They kind of looked the other way and allowed it to happen. Now it's kind of grown like popsy so that they have a lot of influence. What happens if this, you know, I don't know, what is the specific policy that they're going to be voting for this coming time, or don't you know for sure? But what happens if this expansion were to continue? From a policy side.
From a policy side, they'll permit hydroponic.
If they allow it to expand in, you know, in the cat. In other words, is it the upcoming vote? Are they going to be expanding it? Are they going to be keeping it the same and failing to curb it? You know, what is it that you're concerned might be happening at that meeting, and what? Might happen, and what would be the outcomes of what might happen or might not happen?
Right. Right now, the National Organic Standards Board, that citizens group, is trying to come up with a recommendation that would prohibit hydroponics from being certified. And they're working on the languaging of that right now. I think that they will have something. I think that it will come up for a vote in November in Florida at their twice-a-year meeting. And it's really unclear whether it will get the two-thirds it needs to become a formal recommendation to the National Organic Program. But the truth is, they came up with a decent recommendation 7 years ago, and it was ignored. So we don't know, even if they do come up with a strong recommendation, what will happen. But let's say that that doesn't get the two-thirds it needs, and I just can't tell you how much money is going into making sure that doesn't happen. But if it does get it will get a majority, but whether it fails to get the two-thirds, what happens then? I suspect that the organic farmers and the more informed organic eaters are going to start to abandon the USDA label as no longer representing organic. It's already got real problems with animal welfare. We all know it. And a new recommendation, actually a new rule, was passed by the National Organic Program that would eliminate 3/4 of the certified organic egg producers from organic certification. And that was a pretty, it was not a very strong rule, but it was a very strong position that they were willing to do that. And, of course, that was just about to go into effect, and Trump came in, and they immediately pulled that. And it's probably never going to see the light of day, at least as long as he's president, because those relatively few very large egg producers banded together. They've got tremendous lobbying influence, and you know, Senator Pat Roberts is one of their supporters, and he's chairman of the Senate Ag Committee. So, you know, the further you get into this, the worse it looks. And I will say that on animal welfare, the entire organic community really banded together against the invasion of these CAFO egg producers and CAFO dairy producers, CAFO meat producers. Everybody agreed that that was not organic. And even so, it's still being permitted. So we have a fight. And whether we can save the National Organic Program or not, I don't know. We're trying very hard. And if everybody gets up and shouts, we might be able to pull it off. But if we're silent, we won't. We're going to lose.
How informed about this is the general public, in your estimation? I mean, are people aware of this? I mean, is the, the people who are organic consumers, are they aware of this problem, or are they kind of starting at ground zero and needing to get up to speed right now?
I'd say 3 years ago, nobody knew about it. None of this stuff is labeled as hydroponic. It goes out in the market, and just the way the CAFO eggs have a picture of a happy hen running around the pasture on them, and the milk from Aurora Dairy in Colorado has a nice picture of a cow in a pasture. You know, the berries have a nice picture of berry bushes in a field surrounded by mountains. You know, the labeling, the advertising is very misleading because they know people don't want that. Consumers don't know about it. The truth is, with hydroponics, even the organic farmers are barely starting to learn that this is happening. This was a very hidden coup d'etat. This was a very hidden takeover. And really, nobody noticed it was happening, even though it was happening on a giant scale. At the last NOSB meeting, one of the chief lobbyists for the hydro forces got up and said that their sales now reached $1 billion a year in retail sales for hydroponic organic. I suspect that he was exaggerating, but I agree that it's a very large number. And how many people even know about that? How many people know when they buy those tomatoes that they're grown hydroponically, 3 feet up in the air, suspended in white plastic bags? You can't see a speck of soil in the whole greenhouse. Nobody knows that.
In plastic bags. Here are people, fighting to get plastic bags out of, you know, their neighborhood grocery store, out of their food co-op. They're wanting to avoid products, plastic bottles. And now you're saying that vegetables are grown in plastic bags. And, what are the health impacts of that? I always look at what's the thing that's going to grab someone's attention. I think that actually what would be beneficial, and I know this is kind of unorthodox on a radio program, but I can't help thinking this way, because I'm always looking at how can people get the message most easily. And I think you need like the kind of little card cheat sheet that, people use for seafood. The seafood is high in mercury. Don't consume at all, or if you're pregnant, or you can consume this one, which is lower down the food chain, once or twice a week. I mean, I think you need a cheat sheet card, something that people visually can look at and then have that horrible aha moment to go, I have been eating this, and it was grown in plastic, and or it has this other problem. I mean, I think the problem is people don't know what they're eating.
That's a great idea to have a cheat sheet. That was actually the idea of the National Organic Seal, was that would represent so people didn't have to spend hours of research to say, these vegetables really organic? Was this milk really from an organic dairy where the cows go out on pasture? And unfortunately, because organic has become so popular, because people want to eat good food, because they want to support good agricultural practices that will actually have a positive impact on climate change, well, we've become very attractive to large corporations that just want to cash in on that wonderful impulse that people have. And so our work is cut out for us. If we want to protect the organic seal, we are going to have to fight for it. And otherwise, absolutely, it's going to be taken over. It is being taken over. And it's a shame because most of the organic farmers, most of the certified organic farmers in this country really are organic farmers. They really are doing the right thing.
So getting some background there and not get that. Yeah. You know, right here, right now, you know, let's do this so that when, you know, listeners to Connect the Dots hear this show, they're not just aware that maybe we have to write to somebody in Congress or whatever we're going to do about it, which, of course, gets less and less appealing every day because there are so many things to write to people about. And the people aren't that responsive, you know, as we've seen. But right now, in terms of a consumer, vote with your dollar cents. I know that both of you have the background knowledge from, you know, following all of this closely to do a rundown right now so that listeners listening to this show will know what you know. Like, if it's a Driscoll berry, it's grown in this way, it's lacking this, and it's part of the encroaching problem on organics. If it's a certain brand of dairy or a certain kind of egg, how do we identify these products that, you know, we're guilelessly paying more money for, you know, hoping that they're organic so that people can really vote with their pocketbook, as, you know, we often hope to believe we're doing. Like, just give me a list, you know, like go back and forth, whatever you can think of. I think it's really, you know, people need to know.
Yeah. I can speak to that a little bit, Allison. I mean, as you know, I got into this work just being, you know, a mom. You know, I have four kids and I raised them all in Iowa, and it was really a challenge. You know, it's the irony of Iowa obviously is that it's really a food desert. So you know, in order to source that good food for my kids, I had to go out and, you know, speak to the local farmers who were growing organically, which were very, very few, especially at that time, for me. And I had to drive 2 hours to a co-op, you know, in Minneapolis. And you're very closely connected to a co-op, Allison, there at Park Slope. So you know some of the challenges that you know, even co-ops face and grocery stores face in sourcing. But You know, Dave can probably speak a little bit more to like the brands that are specifically hydroponic, but, you know, and over the years that I've, you know, encouraged people to, you know that they're getting what they think they're getting is, you know, when you have the opportunities, you know, go to the farmers markets, right? Find out who's doing what close to where you live. And sometimes people think, oh, that's, you know, that's a lot of work or whatever, but, you know, you really don't, it's not something you have to keep doing, right? Once you know, and then you can continue to support those farmers that are, you know, doing the good ecologically sound, you know, practices where you live, and you can source that on, you know, a scale of what you're.
Lisa, let me just ask a question here.
Yes.
So another, I really want to go for takeaways because we have like, you know, another 10 or so minutes of the show, and I really want to come away with like a takeaway. So one takeaway is that, you know, if you are in a place where there's, you know, farmers markets, you can go and you can ask those questions. But what about, like, how would I know, for example, if, you know, one of these predatory egg producers that should have been, you know, sent out the door is like, how do people find out which eggs are really, like, if I buy an Organic Valley dozen eggs, which is available right here, you know, in my local store. If I buy that, is that a problem? Is that one of these, or is it something called Happy Hen? Are we afraid to kind of, will they come after us with lawsuits if we, you know, kind of get specific about the information? Like what brand does for Aurora Dairy? You know, am I buying an Aurora Dairy, which is a lower grade, as you seem to be, you know, suggesting, milk dairy product, if I'm buying that, am I, you know, buying something I don't know that I'm buying? Can we just get some, like, real, almost like bullet points for people?
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, Cornucopia has actually done some really good research on this, and they just issued a report in the last couple of months, specifically, you know, on egg producers. So that mm-hmm. is one place that people can go if you're specifically, you know, wondering about, you know, practices with regard to, you know, the animal welfare standards and so on and so forth that was originally laid out by, you know, the organic program and was the intention of that. As Dave mentioned, if these rules actually were implemented, we would have over 70% of those companies that are certifying eggs as organic be certified. In essence, if you're a person who lives on the western side of the U.S., I can say this, that Natural Grocers, which is a large national retailer, you know, of natural and organic foods, and they have all organic produce, they've also done an excellent job of sourcing, you know, sustainable animal-based products. So if I'm going to buy animal-based products, you know, for my kids, you know, eggs, dairy, so forth, I'm going to Natural Grocers because I trust their sourcing. So, you know, there are some places out there, you know, on the East Coast, you two are more on the East Coast, so maybe, you know, you and maybe Dave can talk to that a little bit more as well.
So, Lisa,
I could answer a little bit.
In other words, going to a store that will do the work for you and do it correctly, basically, rather than having to do it yourself, like if you're in a supermarket or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dave.
Yeah,
well,
you're gonna have
quite
to,
challenging,
you're,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to push the store pretty hard because, unfortunately, mostly stores don't actually know the answer to these questions. And I have gone into stores with excellent produce departments, lots of organic stuff, and labeled what farms it came from. But I've asked, are these tomatoes hydroponic? And I actually knew they were. And the person who cared very much, who worked in the store, really had no idea. He didn't even know what the word meant. And when I told him what it meant, he was outraged, but he said, but there's no labeling on the box or anywhere. And I said, no, there isn't. So it does take a bit of work in terms of milk or eggs. I agree with Lisa that Cornucopia Institute has a pretty good scorecard on that, and you can go online and check it out. And they rank most egg producers in the country, you know, bigger than just neighborhood, and most dairies also. So you can yogurts also. You can get some pretty good feedback. They've done a lot of work on that. Another thing I would say is buy local organic whenever you can. Go to farmers market, go to CSA, support the co-ops, but make sure that the co-ops are doing the work too, and make sure that they're labeling stuff. Maybe they feel compelled to carry it. You know, it's hard for a lot of stores to drop Driscoll's, but make sure that they label, you know, that these might be hydroponic. You can't tell with Driscoll's because not all their berries are hydroponic, but many, many of them are. So I think
Driscoll's
all of that. Yeah, of course. Driscoll's is at every store in America, practically. They're enormously successful at getting a nice looking product out. Some of them taste good, some don't, but, you know, they're an awesome company. They have a terrible track record with labor, and that's why there's a boycott in many places against them. But, they're good at a lot of stuff. Unfortunately, they're also good at gaming the system. So they're really, really developing hydroponic. They're not promoting it publicly, but it's happening on a massive scale. So we just it's not simple. What we really need to do is to push the USDA to take back the label, or we'll have to form another label that does what the organic label was supposed to do. And frankly, nobody wants to do that, but we might have to. There's one last thing I would just say about this, which is that this fall there are going to be a series of rallies across the country to basically tell the USDA that we don't, you know, that we want organic farming to be based in the soil. And that's true for animal welfare, you know, that those animals should have access to pasture and be outside. And that's true for vegetables and berries, that they should be grown in the soil. And these rallies are going to be all over, and we hope that somebody who's listening to this will say, I would like to host such a rally. They can be big things. They can also be small things with just, 20 friends, and march down the road and film yourself and send it in, and we're going to put it all together. We're even going to have the rallies. Originally, these were called Rally in the Valley, but we're going to have some rallies in the alleys, too. So we're going to have some urban counterparts to this, and that would be a tremendous support. We had a rally in Vermont last fall. About 250 people came. Elliot Coleman was there. Senator Pat Leahy, who was the co-sponsor of the Organic Food Production Act, was there. Shelley Pingree was there. Peter Welsh. And that little rally got front page of the New York Times and the Boston Globe and All Things Considered and National Geographic. So it had a big impact on the national conversation. A small number of people who care can actually be very effective at moving the conversation. So I appeal to all of your listeners to see if they can figure out a way to participate in a rally.
Well, a rally sounds like a great idea. Do you have like a name or a website or a Facebook page that you're going to, that people can be looking for, in terms of organizing, finding out about
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we have a Facebook called Keep the Soil Inorganic, and we have a website called keepthesoilinorganic.org.
Great. People can go there.
And you go to either of those and leave a message. Mm-hmm. You can ask a question. We will get a sign up going there for rallies. We're just getting started, and we've already got 9 rallies committed. So I'm
great.
Sure that there's going to be a lot of people around the country and even around the world. We've already got our first international rally down in Costa Rica. So I'm sure that we're going to have a lot of people who are going to be very happy to stand together and you can think of it as a series of parties. We don't have to be shaking our fists. We can just be getting together and saying we do care about this, and we don't mm-hmm. want to let people take it away, and have a little party to point that out.
I met Lisa and Dave Murphy for the first time, I believe, at a rally in New York City, or actually a Farmers March. That was the first time we ever met, and I'll never forget it. It was very fantastic to be marching, through the concrete and everything for the farmers. And it was funny because I was walking behind a banner that some people were carrying, and everyone on earth kept taking our picture. And I was like, why are they so interested in this one banner? And then I looked behind me, and I saw that there was a row of farmers with pitchforks walking behind us, and that's what they were taking the pictures of. So I was with the farmers, and I didn't even know it, and I found it out.
That photo, Allison. Yeah, that was a great day. It'd be fun to do that again, right? And so I'll just also mention, too, that the date that we're looking at, so people can kind of keep that in their awareness, is October 15th. The National Organic Standards Board meeting commences in Jacksonville, Florida, on October 31st, and runs for, three and a half days, I think. And, but any day, is good. If people say, I can't do October 15th, but, we've already got, commitments from some, really respected leaders in the organic community to do rallies. And, Fred Kirschenman is going to be speaking here in the Denver Boulder area where I live. And, they've got a really great rally in Vermont scheduled there. So we're hoping that people will, like Dave said, come out and support that. There's also a comment period where you can send in your comments to the National Organic Standards Board, and that is very important as well. And Dave will have that information on his site, Keep the Soil and Organic, that he mentioned.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds really good. That's excellent. Well, also, I'm going to rerun this show. So you may be, listeners, you're going to hear it now in the summer, and you may be hearing it later in the fall, because as the momentum builds, this is really important. I am sure, I just want to say how grateful I've been to have you both, Dave Chapman and Lisa Stocky, here on Connect the Dots today talking about this issue. I think that we're only, this is the tip of the iceberg in terms of what the health impact, and we haven't even gotten into the intersection, the new intersection that more and more people are talking about, and I'm also on the Sierra Club food and ag team, coincidentally, which is the intersection between how we grow our food, how we treat our soil, and how we sequester carbon, which is in a natural way, you know, in the way that it should be done, and what the interaction is between climate change and food agriculture. And on Connect the Dots, we talked a great deal about fossil fuels and fossil fuel extraction and transport and use and that impact. But food agriculture is also a major area of impact. And, I think there's probably a whole second conversation we can have about that. But we're coming to the end of today's show. So I just really want to thank you both for the terrific work you're doing and for bringing it to our listeners. Listeners, I hope you go to the websites, participate, get involved if you care about really having healthy organic food for ourselves and for, our kids and future generations. Thank you for being with us on today's Connect the Dots, everyone. We'll be back next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. If you like this show, go to iTunes and like it. Share it with your friends, through the Connect the Dots Podbean, where all our shows are stored. You can look back for other shows on food in our archives. I'm Allison Rose-Levy. Have a great week. Heads up, keep marching forward and standing tall with all our relations. Well,